At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 16th, 2024. We're here to talk AEW Dynamite. We reviewed Wrestle Dream this past weekend, and we had a ton of exclusive news on that show. As always, we have a bunch of exclusive news at FightfulSelect.com, including news today about Scott D'Amore's non-compete, the Brock Lesnar rumors, and a Select Answers piece. $5 a month, $54 a year. But by God, we're here for free right now. We got Alex Pawlowski here. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. I just need an update. Is John Silver still chasing the truck?
That was phenomenal. I saw Kyler posted the video and he said, when you steal an NPC's car in GTA.
There you go.
I loved it. There's lots to talk about on this episode of Dynamite. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a fruit emoji for our roll call. Let us know that you're here, by God. Talk to us in the comments section. Myself, Kyler, others, hop over there and talk with you guys after the fact as well. But I'm always over at FightfulSelect.com talking to you guys on our Discord. So make sure you guys join. For that and one of many reasons to join Fightful Select. But if you want your questions or statements read on the air for tonight, including any questions that you might have, get in your super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful or Humper Chats over at humperchats.com. That's for everybody wherever you're watching. But let's go ahead and get into this. Thanks to our great moderator, Luis, for keeping track of a lot of this. So usually I will sort of combine segments, but I feel like it's important for us to thread the Moxley stuff as it is, because it's very clear that that's something that they are, it's a concentrated effort for them to do that. Yeah. He cut a promo, and I'm just going to read exactly what he said, Alex. He said, somebody has to be responsible when things get out of control. I'll be the one responsible. People think they know what I'm about. They don't know anything. I have a dream of a land of opportunity where people came to AEW and they can achieve anything they want. They can be the best version of themselves that they can be. Wrestling gave me everything I had in the world. I want that for other people. 150 wrestlers on the roster, the big fat paychecks, and their junk in their hands. What are they supposed to do? Where are they supposed to go? I hate what AEW has become. Egos out of control, celebrating when there's no need to be celebrating, dancing and partying when there's no need for dancing and partying. I can't stand it anymore. I will burn the forest to plant a new one. I'm not sentimental. I'll do what has to be done. We will do what has to be done. We can see a better future. We will make it happen. If you want to come with us, you can come with us. If you don't, run while you can. Stand down while you can. Get out of the way. What's the need to know for those in AEW? What's the need to know? What is a new paradigm? It's very simple. You work for me now. So before we get to this promo, I am interested to hear what you thought of the show close on Saturday. We're also going to talk about another controversial segment that a lot of people were talking about, but I'll let you know how I felt about it. I wish Bryan Danielson would have tapped out. I feel like that would have made things less anticlimactic than him passing out. When a guy like Bryan Danielson says, "No mas, I'm going home to my kids and my wife," and then Wheeler Yuta and Moxley do all that, I think that also lends to John Moxley being like, "See, I knew you didn't even want to be here. You didn't want to be in this spot. We want people who do want to be in that spot." I feel like that could have added a lot more to it. Other than that, I like the show close, but I feel like he should have tapped out. How did you feel about the way that things ended there?
Tap out, I think, would have been fine. I think what they did could have been great if they had actually handled the moment of he's out. I guess the match is over now. Because it all happened too fast. There wasn't a good camera angle of Remsburg checking his arm, like wondering, like, well, if I call for the bell now, then basically I end Danielson's career. But if I don't, and I let him stay in this chokehold too long, then I could end his life. I would be responsible for that, or at least his livelihood. Like, if he's in there for too long and oxygen is taken away from his brain for too long, like, I wanted to, because it just was like, he's in the chokehold. He's in it for a bit. Remsburg kind of looks at him and goes, "Well, I guess ding, ding, ding." And there wasn't the struggle of the at least give me a really good arm drop. Maybe you don't arm drops, but one really good arm drop and he's dead and I got to call for the bell, because it didn't look like that to me while I was watching it. If I went back and studied it, maybe it would feel different. But while I was watching it, it just seemed to happen too fast. And I think, though, I said on Saturday, I think if Brian had a hand in how this specifically ended, I think he probably wanted it that way, because sometimes things can't end with a bang. Sometimes they have to end with a whimper. Sometimes what we're expecting, this monumental moment, like he goes for the Busaiku knee and it's reversed and paradigm shift and 1, 2, 3, and oh my God, it's over. But that's not how he wanted to go out. He wanted to go out with this kind of anticlimactic, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I think he wanted us to have the letdown, because again, Bryan Danielson is a sadist and wants us to feel as bad as possible.
I mean, like, if Bryan Danielson had his way, they would have done far worse to him than that. But I do think there's a little bit of superhero movies have conditioned people to believe a certain thing. Yep. And I mean, you and I were covering WWE Raw when it was a book heat to spite people era.
True.
And now it's not that. There's a much better balance now in WWE. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're managing a good balance, because a lot of people are like, well, WWE always books positive. And I'm like, well, no, Roman Reigns was a heel champion for 4 straight years. So there is that, but there's a lot to get into there. We're going to cycle back to that for sure, because man, there's just so much there. We've got DNC Digital saying someone should fine BCC for what they did. Well, I mean, that leads to the ominous wording of "you work for me now." And
that's a thing too. But like, but up until this point, Moxley's just been a contracted wrestler. He challenged Darby to a match for the number one contendership. He beat Darby for it. Then he got the match versus Bryan and he won. So he's the champion. So if Tony Khan's not going to be an on-screen role, and he has Christopher Daniels, who fills that for him. Christopher Daniels should want a meeting with Jon Moxley to figure out what the hell is up. And you should at least tell us that they're trying to get him into an office to talk to him about this, because this is not okay. But every time he shows up, he chokes out a bunch of people with his friends and leaves. You know, at least give us that like the people on top don't like what's going on here. I am the whole thing with EVPs is separate. But like the Tony Khan faction of running the company should probably not be okay with what they are doing right now, and at least be telling us that they're trying to get that under control.
Viral Moments News, Sports and Learning says, Sean, how many creative writers or AEW have? I'm afraid now that they got a big TV deal, things will get worse. Well, they have one less, because as Fightful Select reported last week, Jimmy Jacobs effectively resigned from the company. It was a thing where he was very well liked, but AEW looked at it and they're like, all right, well, he was Tony's right-hand man. We're going to use this opportunity to, I don't want to say creatively reset or reboot or anything like that, but to shift things from a creative standpoint, because they are very aware that maybe they have, I don't want to say lost their way, but have definitely shifted to some degree from what brought them to the dance, so to speak. And I feel like that is important for them to get back to. Sanjay helps out. Obviously, Will Washington helps out. Mm-hmm. Jen Pepperman. I don't know who, like, if they are writing the scripts per se, but I mean, a little bit of all those people are. QT Marshall, it helps out creatively. There are a lot of different people that help out in a creative sense. Mm-hmm. For all that. But we've got the Adam Cole promo. Let me tell you, going into this segment, it was controversial among some the other night, because there were a lot of people that were like, well, he was the heel last year. And I'm like, okay, guys, bear with me, especially people that are very excited to see Roman Reigns as a babyface when he literally did not appear between the time that he lost a match at WrestleMania and became a babyface.
Yes.
In absence, someone else's behavior made him a babyface.
Right.
At least to the crowd. That is effectively what has happened with Adam Cole, but I still wanted a reason. Now, I will say this. The reason he gave is by and large the reason in which I explained. You would have to be a moron to trust MJF.
Right.
And here's the example I gave today on the hump, Alex. About five times, MJF was standing directly behind Adam Cole on worldwide television going, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
Dare me to?
I'll
hey, buddy. Why does Adam Cole not watch the show? He's not a moron.
Right.
And that's what he said in this promo. He was like, I'm not dumb, and sometimes you have to fight evil with evil. Mm-hmm. I was beating him to the punch. Now, I want a better explanation than this, because I feel like that was an easy way to be like, yeah, so that devil stuff, let's just kind of forget about it. But there was so much of this promo that it didn't hit right. And I think a lot of it boils down, Alex, to where it's a thing that I used to complain about a lot in WWE, when they send a baby face out there with a microphone to say, hello, I am a guy in my mid-30s, and I would like to complain about another grown man to you, the audience that paid to see a wrestling show. Yeah. I feel like this explanation would have went a lot better with maybe a sit-down interview or something like that, where Renee or Jim Ross is saying, what was your motivation for even being nice to MJF? And, well, the world title, duh, no shit.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Why did that happen? But I understand they want the crowd to go boom. They want the crowd to say boom again. They want the crowd to go baby. But I feel like in this situation, it came across as like, me and my ex broke up, meaning MJF.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Let me tell all of you about it.
Right. I agree. I think that it might have been interesting if you could figure out a way to do a sit-down in-ring interview with him and Renee.
Yeah. Paquette.
Because I think Rene Paquette
prompted him.
Yeah. But Rene Paquette, like starting out with a question about this and like, and so like, I would love him to say, how many times did he stand behind me threatening to knock me out?
Yeah.
I saw now, the film
I got
that.
This guy saying, comparing it to Bloodline, Sean, man, brother, what the fuck are you talking about? I said that Roman Reigns was a heel the last time you saw him on TV.
Right.
Did nothing himself.
Right.
Made no appearances, no comments, nothing. And then when he shows back up, he's a babyface. Right. And why is that? Because of somebody's behavior and absence. Yeah. Guess who else that happened with? Triple H when he got injured. Like it
almost
happens.
Everybody, when they're injured as a heel, comes back and gets a face reaction.
It happens all the time. This one had the hurdle of you got to explain why one guy is acting one way, why one way, one acted the other. Like I know that people are going to take that out of context. Right. And I knew that would happen immediately. Right. Sorry for interrupting.
No. And the thing is, you're not alone in that observation because I've made the same one. The idea that Roman Reigns left as the biggest heel in the company, and while he was gone, his enforcer decided, I'm going to usurp the throne. The thing is, if you look at thrones being usurped over the centuries in the Middle Ages, most of the dudes usurping were basically the same level as evil as the dudes they were that had been usurped. So like... Yeah. What confidence can we possibly have narratively that if Roman gets the Ulafala back from Solo Sikoa, that he's not just going to revert to being the same asshole we all hated before he lost to Cody? There's nothing in the narrative that guarantees that. So it's the same basic idea. We just decided we want him back because we miss him. And also we'd rather have him be the top guy than Solo. It's the same basic idea. MJF turned heel while Adam Cole was out. And now we'd rather root for somebody to kick MJF's ass. And that guy, the guy du jour, is Adam Cole, and we're rooting for that. It's the way wrestling has been for a very long time.
Well, if you're looking to get your throne SERPed, check out our friends at BlueChew.com with the code FIGHTFUL. Make sure your scepter is polished and ready to go with Blue Chew. You might say, by God, I don't need Blue Chew. Listen, it's for that confidence, that performance. You want to have that royal performance. You want to knight a few people. And listen, when they get down on that knee to accept it, you want to make sure that they're not disappointed. You don't want that to happen. And Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL has you covered. Got the same approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in a chewable form. It's ready on your schedule, ready whenever you are. And like I said, it gives you that main event performance and confidence. Not only that, it's prescribed online. You take their online consultation. When approved, it ships straight to your door. And oh, let me tell you, it's a lot faster than medieval times. Like they're not bringing that on horseback. But there will be some other bareback going on, if you know what I'm saying. Thanks to Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. Don't be a jester. You want to make sure that throne is appropriately SERPed. And Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL are going to make sure that you get it. Check them out. Our longest running partner, Blue. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's Tecovas.com tacovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tacovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chew. And the code Fightful. MJF, I agree with Alan Jeanette, says, in my opinion, the MJF portion of this promo did the heavy lifting. To me, a lot of it is a perception element of it. Mm-hmm. I like Adam Cole. I was interested in what he had to say. However, there's just the perception thing of a guy, again, a guy in his mid-30s walking out to the ring. Mm-hmm. Let me have this time at the beginning of this show to talk for 10 minutes uninterrupted. And you put over the company, like, we get it. But again, I agree with you. Have somebody prompt him. I'm so happy to be back. I'll be back in the ring soon. And like, even maybe he's like, yeah, I'm ready to leave now. I'm going to go hunt down MJF. And then Renee's like, speaking of that, why? And then she extends it. Like, I feel like that is important to it. MJF popped up in a video, well-produced, and said, you're not going to wrestle me. You're not going to get me in the ring. You are going to leave completely unfulfilled as you have been for the last year. I got the last laugh by beating your ass and keeping you out of action even longer. I liked his part. I thought it was very good. I thought it was more reflective of what Adam Cole should have been, honestly.
I love that he does, which is honestly, if you distill down almost every heel in wrestling or villain in movies and TV, this is their mantra. The despicable man that I have become is not my fault. That's a wonderful little snippet of how MJF feels about himself. Yes, I admit I am horrible. However, That's not my fault. That's your fault. You did this to me. I am blameless, but you are the one because you made me trust you. And now I'll never trust anyone again and all this stuff. It was honestly really well done. And the thing about it is that there was always going to be this, rivalry against each other after the friendship. We just didn't get to have it when they wanted to do it because injuries.
Yeah.
So we will see now how they go through this, but I think that this is probably the best alignment to do. That's kind of why I always hoped it was going to be MJF who turned on Adam Cole, because I think it's a lot easier to root for Adam Cole than it is to root for MJF.
Oh yeah.
So now we actually, I think, have the right alignment here where we're going to do the feud. We have the right guy to boo and the right guy to cheer.
And on FightfulSelect.com, I had mentioned that I had been told the wheels were in motion for Adam Cole to return as a babyface. And I'm told one of those was he's still affiliated with the Undisputed Kingdom, which he mentioned. And Roderick Strong played very nice after that Hook match, like shook his hand, all that stuff. I'm told that that is a part of it. With getting MJF back from, we had reported on Fightful Select that he was headed right back to film Happy Gilmore 2 as well. Yeah. He was not there tonight, so he had to go do that, which, by the way, you could not have asked for a more perfect movie for MJF to be introduced to a cinematic audience to.
Right.
Like, that is like such the right kind of cast, the right type of situation. Sure. Then we find out he's cast in a Justin Long, Ron Perlman movie as well, so good for him. Mm-hmm. But we get him back. Swerves back from his short absence. We've got Adam Cole back. This is the closest to 100% the top of an AEW card has been. Now, that comes with some caveats. Bryan Danielson's gone.
Right.
Sting gone earlier this year.
Yeah.
CM Punk gone about 13 months ago.
Yes.
Those are three really heavy hitters to lose.
Right. But Sting was not at the top of the card as a singles guy. Punk's been gone for been gone for a very long time. The Bryan thing hurts, but I do think that they've woven in. He had to leave so we could do this next major storyline.
Yes, but Kenny may be back in the coming months. If I were them, I would work Ricky Starks back in, have as much top talent as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Like, just really fire on all cylinders as best possible. But Jericho wants a rematch. And listen, sad to report, Alex, I thought that that match was very good on Saturday.
I wouldn't know. I didn't watch any of it. can the things just end? Can things just end? It felt like
he's winning that match.
He's absolutely winning the ladder war match. He's absolutely winning it. But just,
it should not continue. You're right.
None of this.
Briscoe beat him.
Rights to say, no, I'm not giving you a rematch. And there's no reason why anybody who might be the head of ROH booking would give him one.
He should have said something like, the Vortex isn't going to let you go that easy. Like, at least play off the meme.
Something,
but
yeah.
He had a really good match in 2024 with Chris Jericho, did Mark Briscoe. By the way, check out our interview. Alex, did I tell you about the story he and I discussed last week? The War Raiders story?
No, what was that? No.
Oh, my God. I've told it a couple times on the air now, but it's wonderful. I asked the War Raiders about their favorite memories of Mark and Jay Briscoe, and this was a few months after Jay had passed.
Yeah.
And Ivar was like, I injured my ankle, and the Briscoes were trying to help me out with it. They were trying to, you know, take care of me. But they started to argue about the right way to tape an ankle, and they got into a fist fight. He's like, and they're slugging it out.
Story.
And he's like, I look down and there's 6 inches of ankle tape wrapped around me. And as I'm telling Mark Briscoe, hey, I heard a story about you and your brother fighting. He smiles, and you can tell like 1,000 stories are going through his mind.
Yeah.
Because I have also heard about them fighting in hotel like hallways that have emptied out. He's like, oh, yeah, we fought at TGI Fridays.
Right.
We fought everywhere.
Yeah.
I love it. Love that. But also, Mark Briscoe has been defending the ROH title on ROH TV, which makes me very happy. But separate of the ladder match itself, they're doing something that I've been saying they need to do more of. And they did two things they need to do more of. They're highlighting a match for next week on Dynamite. They did this with a few weeks away on Dynamite with the swerve match.
Yeah.
And they're highlighting, here's where we're going to be on TV for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. That's
which good. Is something they've really needed to do. Because so often on Dynamite, you're setting up shows for Rampage and Collision as opposed to next Dynamite. Give me a reason to tune into the show I'm already watching next week.
Yeah.
But,
good.
DNC Digital says Jake Roberts said a good heel is always justified. Jake Roberts would know. I'm jazzed up about that talent exchange thing, even just for a fresh look.
Yeah.
Amir says, any truth that Kevin Owens is close to re-signing with the Fed, hoping Tony Khan would have made a big play to sign him? Well, Tony Khan really can't yet.
Right.
If he hit free agency, Tony Khan would offer him, when I say massive money, I mean massive money. Tony Khan has wanted Kevin Owens. WWE has approached Kevin Owens. FTR defeated. We saw Mark Briscoe backstage, and he mentioned the trios match, all that stuff. By the way, Shelton Benjamin does get the All Elite graphic confirming that he is signed. But they defeated Brian Keith and Big Bill. Good. You get FTR a tag win. Brian Keith takes a pin. It doesn't hurt him or anything to lose to FTR.
No, you got a victory over Rocky Romero on a Rampage. So like, they did something for him, and now he does the. You know, he takes the pin here. Mike, I'm watching this every time I see Big Bill I'm like, this guy's getting better every week.
Yeah.
He's one of the top big men in the world right now.
They don't grow on trees anymore, buddy.
They don't. He's 7 feet tall, somebody once said, and you can't teach that.
Yeah.
He's really, really good at all the in-ring stuff, plus the personality he brings. Not just like in promos backstage, but in the ring, the way he works the crowd and mocks his opponent. Like the guy that I keep saying, the closest analog I can find is like prime NWO Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
Because he had all that swagger and he walked to the ring and he knew this was the coolest dude in the building. He has the potential to be like that. And he's like second fiddle in a Jericho story that mostly nobody likes.
I mean, you think about the 90s, like we had Diesel, we had Sid, Undertaker, Kane. Yep. Like we had a lot of guys that were like 6'8" to 7 feet tall. Yep. Now the big guys are like 6'4" to 6'6". Like,
yeah,
not to leave anybody out, but like from a 7-footer perspective,
yeah,
you would kill to have somebody that could bump like Paul White did in the 90s. Yeah. When I would see him do that, you've got, outside of Omos, who doesn't get booked, you got Ben Bishop on the Indies and you got Big Bill. There's not a lot else. So I don't think you can waste him there. But also, again, I like it. You mentioned Brian Keith getting the win over Rocky Romero. Yep. FTR getting a tag win. This is what I've been asking for, is develop the contenders underneath. Mm-hmm. And then we see some other contenders that I really love, the Outrunners. Mm-hmm. And Tom LaValle says to make Alex smile, Outrunners versus LFI.
Man,
LFI are watching backstage. Your thoughts?
I can't stand the Outrunners.
I love them.
I know.
I love them.
Everybody loves them but me. I can't. I'm fine with them as an act that's way down the card. I loved them when they were jobbing out to people, because that's what you should do with teams like this. When they were booked to beat GYV, I was out on them for like, they haven't done anything to follow. Everyone's like, oh, don't worry, GYV will get a win back. They still haven't. It's been weeks now.
I don't know that they're signed yet. I think I don't know that. I'm waiting to find out. I feel like if they would, they'd be getting that.
Would it be really weird to debut them at all in the way they did without some kind of assurances that they were signed to the company? It'd be very weird to do that.
I've seen weirder. DNC Digital says FTR Outrunners on a Saturday morning in the WCW Worldwide Arena with Gorilla and Heenan on commentary on a VHS tape. Please. That would not be that hard for them to pull off an arena.
No, they could figure out how to make that work.
They could. And somebody says, if they're not signed, what are we doing? I just haven't got the confirmation yet. But here's what I see happening. And I think that some of your complaints might be alleviated because they're working with FTR. Because I don't see FTR putting up with this shit for very long. No, they're going to attack these guys in a jealous rage and be like, we've been busting our asses for years. We're so passionate. When I'm passionate, like Dax is passionate, he gets made fun of, and everybody's loving this meme team, and they'll probably call them a meme team too. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be very jealous. And I think that will probably light a fire underneath the Outrunners to do a little more serious stuff. I will say this, something that meme team reminded me of this, but Adam Cole talking about like people on Twitter, let's like just never talk about Twitter on TV again. That would be great. Like let's minimize that as humanly possible.
Yeah.
But yeah. James Zimmerman says Big Bill beats Mox for the title. I mean,
certainly not. I don't think that's how it's going to work, but I mean, he's not like super old. So he could easily, like, in a year or two, be at a position to be that. He absolutely, by the end of 2025, should hold one of the mid-card belts. There's no reason why he can't be a TNT champion at some point in 2025.
I would love if, like, at some point during this run, you know, AEW is throwing everything they can at Jon Moxley, trying to get the title off of him. Mm. And one of them they throw at him is a previously heel, but for the night, babyface Big Bill. And, you know, Moxley would probably win that, but still.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody said, hard to limit Twitter talk on AEW TV when that is literally what TK books for. What show have you been watching the last, like, year and a half, buddy? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. We got the Mercedes Moné Queen Aminata match. I am a fan of Queen Aminata's in-ring work.
I really love her.
And I'll tell you who I'm also even more of a fan of these days. Camille just does everything right. Camille does everything right. She's in the Mildred Burke movie as well. Big fan of her.
Her fit tonight was fantastic. That was a really great. We don't see that very often at ringside. Listen, the thing with the Mercedes and Aminata thing, we're getting to Statlander versus Mercedes. You know, I feel like it was weird that it was set up a little late and didn't make it onto the pay-per-view card. And then, okay, well, Mercedes has a title match on the Dynamite afterwards, but it's, you know, against Aminata, who's 3-1 in her last four matches, but it was set up by an incidental thing that happened backstage during the pre-show for the pay-per-view. Like, Mercedes is a giant star. And I mean, they did not feel like they has not felt like they are really doing the work to really put her front and center as a giant star in AEW on television, building to big feuds on pay-per-views. Now, I feel like she'll probably face Statlander for the title at the pay-per-view, but that's at the end of November. That's 5 weeks from now. So, like, we need to start really amping that up, I think.
I agree. And this was a TBS title eliminator match, I believe. I'm fine with Mercedes wrestling here and there, but I really do think that AEW especially should, I've compared their champions almost like to Shao Kahn. They should be there, and we should see people vying for them. And then you've got so many titles, you can have those title matches on AEW TV.
Yes.
Like, you got enough of them.
That's true.
To where you can do that.
I would think that you could do a lot more of those other title matches on TV. And then the pay-per-view, you have two women's major titles, and the lesser of the two titles is held by a giant superstar. Both of those women should defend at every pay-per-view.
I agree.
They're both healthy.
I agree, for sure. I am Crush NC. Actually, we'll get to that one. We'll get to that one. Matthew Hook says, Sheeta is the ace. She needs a king, queen, and a jack. I want Sheeta to have her own stable. That's what I want. I want her to have her own stable and go up against Deonna Purrazzo and her own stable. And I want them to have a really great feud and eventually do Blood and Guts or something like that.
That'd be great.
Private Party want another tag title shot. And the Young Bucks say, you took us to our limit, but nope, that ain't going to happen. That doesn't work for us, brother.
Yep.
And why would it? They won. They won their match. Why would they? I mean, to me, this is part of... There were a lot of elements on this show of which Jon Moxley complained about at the open of the show.
Yeah.
And I hope that was a concentrated effort.
Oh, I think so too. I want these guys to, like, they collect all these paychecks, but they're standing around with their junk in their hand. Like, take the initiative. And like when he was attacking Cassidy, and he was before he hit him with that, with the hammer, broke his hand or whatever. He's like, I'm going to give you a little bit of friction to overcome because you're just sitting here being complacent. Now I'm going to give you something to fight for. And I think that it's not an accident that right now all of your champions are heels, because we want to see these guys, these mid-card guys, these baby faces we've been rooting for, overcome something in the coming months. I think it's very possible we get Garcia beating Perry. We get Darby Allin as the one to overcome Moxley. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do for the guy. Maybe it's OC gets his international title back. I don't think they're going to do that. But like, there's a lot of stuff here to like make it an overarming thing that he has said, I want to make AEW better. Now, we disagree with his methods right now because they haven't come to fruition yet. But if basically his whole idea was to do this so that all of these guys we've been rooting for 5 years would actually do something and create their own push in 6 months, if these guys we've been wanting to be champs for so long are all champs, well, maybe the thing that he did was the right thing to do. I think that's a really cool angle for the story.
Stokely shows up, tries to instigate Private Party, says Isaiah Cassidy is the single star. I'll say this, Isaiah Cassidy can cut a damn promo.
Yes,
that man can cut a promo.
Yep.
I am crushing Cease's kick-ass dynamite episode. Love the Mox angle. Watch DPW Super Battle this weekend. Tankman versus something and Violence is Forever versus FTR was special. I am so happy that Violence is Forever finally got that FTR match. And that's let me good. Tell you, Calvin Tankman is so good. And I love Jake something.
Yeah.
I met him before the pandemic. Me and him, I was at Black Label Pro doing interviews. And we were parked next to each other backstage and kept bumping into each other. He's a meaty son of a bitch, Alex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is solid.
Yep.
LaRon Ford says, Alex is right. AEW's presentation of Mercedes has been lacking. Zero Dynamite main events, and her TV matches are 8 to 10 minutes when they should be 15. There is never the threat of her actually losing the title. Right. There has not been a moment in which I feel like she might actually lose the championship.
Right.
Tonight in the main event, we had two guys that I did not know who was going to win or lose when that match started. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever feel like that with Mercedes matches. And yeah. I feel like they need to get somebody there, get somebody over. And
Statlander would be the one. Statlander, you feel like she's got to have a match against Camille, beat Camille to get the Mercedes match. And yeah. if she beats Camille, then all of a sudden at Full Gear, you have to like scratch your head and think maybe that's going to be a possibility.
Jack Perry segment wished Kenny Omega a happy birthday before putting intestines on a cake.
He dumped pig entrails on top of a cake. What the hell is this? It was stupid. But also the idea of happy birthday, I got you some intestines to replace the ones they cut out of your body. It's like really, what do you get the man who has everything? 20 feet of pig intestines to replace the stuff that they cut out of his guts.
It's like in kayfabe, where did he go to order that? What's the process?
You go to a slaughterhouse and they slaughter the stuff and then you can actually get the offal there and people use it for compost and stuff.
See, this is where being the elite would be great still, because you'd have a segment where Jack Perry's like, hey, Okada, thank you for securing those for me. And he'd be like, no problem. Yeah, of course. Don't mention it. I got more if you need them.
I know a guy who runs a slaughterhouse.
Yes.
I got it. Don't worry. I'll call my guts guy, the guy who gets me guts.
My God. Zach says, I'll tolerate a lot for my wrestling heels, but a waste of food tonight by the elite is unacceptable and can't stand. I mean, they were perfectly good organs. Wasted. Jack Perry, your days are number. Meet Normus. Do you have my back? And look, he's got the answer.
Most of them, yes, they will. Yeah.
Just laying around just for decoration. Zach Schimmel says Omega and Ibushi versus Young Bucks for the tag titles, or Omega versus Perry for the TNT title at Full Gear. Oh, with the name drop. Love to Fightful. I don't think he's coming back until maybe that late soon. This year.
No, not that soon.
When I asked about it, I was told, well, first off, he's got to get in shape. Then he's got to get in ring shape. And then he's got to get into Kenny Omega ring shape is what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that is very important to him. Man, I was talking to Scott D'Amore for an interview today, and he really put over Kenny Omega, because a lot of people felt a certain way about that TNA AEW partnership.
Right.
He was like, Kenny Omega would have wrestled anybody we wanted to and would have lost to anybody we wanted to. And they were like, what a lot of people don't know is that Kenny Omega had to get worked on for 90 minutes before he even could get to the ring.
Right.
And I was like, man, you forget how rough he was at that point. Conglomeration and the Elite ends in a no contest thanks to Moxley and company. The Elite will not help out as everybody else gets beaten down.
I did love how shook they were by watching it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a really cool, like, well, they're not targeting us, thank God.
Yes.
And why would
he said,
they get
he
involved?
Said, get out of our way. Yes. He said, stay out of our way or get out of our way.
That's right. And that's what they did. They also, you stand down while you can. They are standing down. Now, yes. I love the idea of like, we run things around here a few months ago. We are the guys who were in charge of everything. Me, us, the Young Bucks who started this whole company, and our friends, Okada and Jack Perry, we run things around here. And here comes in a new guy who's like, no, you don't. I will allow you to keep operating, but you operate at levels far beneath me. Like, that is the kind of thing that where a new gang runs into a part of town and says, you can still run the drugs, but you kick me back 70%. I run the guns and I run the women and all this other kind of stuff. That's what it felt like here. It was really cool, old school crime boss stuff. And the Bucks and Okada and Perry seem content to like stay nominally in power and get their small slice. And I think that's a really cool little detail here.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I think WWE has done very well in the last couple of years is most people in the company don't feel like they are on an island of their own. Roman at times, but he's involved with so many other people. In AEW, there was like a weird two-year period where Cody did not interact with the people we knew that were formerly his best friends, mm-hmm. the Young Bucks, and it felt weird. It felt isolated. Right. The show felt divided. I felt like having these people involved was great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else that was great. Action Andretti in the middle of a brawl.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Going for a handspring elbow. And let me tell you, my pastimes are pro wrestling, football, and watching street fights on Reddit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see some pretty wacky shit. For anybody saying, not realistic, not realistic, you see some crazy stuff. I've seen a man kiss his hand, take two steps, and backhand a man and knock him out. Mm-hmm. I've seen a gut-wrench power bomb. I've seen people run up stuff, turn around, and kick him in the face. Action Andretti tried one of those. He tried a springboard back elbow, and Moxley just clocked him.
Oh, that's great. That was great.
He said,
get that shit out of here.
He said, that was dumb. So good.
It was excellent. I love now they've introduced a MacGuffin. Well, they basically took the AW title belt, they zipped it up in a backpack. We watched the very first thing, Pac tossing it into a van. Like it wasn't the same truck they left in, it was a different vehicle. That's gone. But now he's carrying around this briefcase and we have no idea what's in it. This briefcase is the most important thing in AEW right now because the stuff it could contain is so interesting to me. It's probably just a redesigned title belt. But like there's some really cool possibilities of what's in Pac's briefcase. I love it.
The Elite are interviewed. Garcia and Private Party get in their faces for not helping out, for not bothering to help out the talent that they are supposedly over top of and all that.
Yeah.
And we see Garcia and Jack Perry get nose to nose, almost like a Jean Lafleur and Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Like situation there. But that was good. Jordan Scott says Mox's action throughout the night alone questioned the EVP's power, turned Dark Order face, lit a spark under DG, Private Party, Top Flight, Darby, OC, probably more. So I'm really intrigued where this goes. I mean, that's the thing. You have these characters who are the audience knows who all of them are, and they're learning who Marina is. But John Moxley was a main eventer in WWE. Claudio was a guy that a bunch of people said should have been a main eventer in WWE. And Pac was literally the first person to come out with Hangman Page and say, I want to be AEW champion.
Yeah.
They have been built at an upper echelon for a long time. And now they are getting on screen with Dark Order, Top Flight, all that stuff. I'm not comparing this to the NWO angle, but there were definite inspirations here with this backstage beatdown. And, you know, the Rey Mysterio element of it, throwing him into the thing. You saw a dive from one of the guys onto everybody. There are definitely some inspirations there. Yeah. What did you think of the backstage beatdown?
Well, first I want to highlight this from Meet Normus, which is just a wonderful analogy. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are the crooked politicians and the BCC are the cartel. This is a perfect analogy for what this feels like. Like we get to stay in power, even though we are not in power.
Yeah.
That That's all they care about. And like, please don't cut off our heads and leave it in the front seat of our car. Like, that's what that feels like. Okay. Backseat, the backstage thing.
Wonderful comparison.
I love that Top Flight runs out to try and get him. I love that Dark Order finally comes out to try and get him during the first big brawl. And then they're still brawling in the back. And it's just, we're just trying to leave. We have no intention to actually hurting you guys because you don't matter. You're in our way and we're trying to exit the building. That's the disdain that the BCC has for everybody else here. That was so cool. Basically, Johnny Hungy's trying to beat up somebody and Moxley comes from behind, puts him in kind of a chokehold, but then just fish hooks his nose for a bit, throws him down. They all get in the car and leave. Johnny Hungy just going crazy. And then we get, I love the fiery promos from Evil Uno and from all of Top Flight. Basically, it was at this moment that I actually remembered, actually, the Trios champs are part of this. Like, Pac and Claudio and Wheeler Yuta are the Trios champs still. So, of course, not only are you fighting for the soul of AEW or whatever, but if Top Flight beats them, they get to be Trios champs. If Dark Order beats them, they get to be Trios champs. So there's extra stakes on top of the grudge that you beat us up, on top of we don't like what you did to Bryan Danielson, on top of we don't like what you're threatening to do to AEW, we also would like to be champions, please.
Yes.
That's all kinds of stakes wrapped up in this. This is the kind of stuff that I love.
I loved seeing the passion from them. I wish it was a little more natural in the delivery as opposed to this week on Collision type of thing. But, I mean, they were saying pretty much what they were told to say. So not on them, but
right.
I liked that they were passionate about it. I liked that they were featured. John Silver chasing the truck is phenomenal television. And I'm invested in this story. Zach says, love the Trios challenging BCC. Also, why is Switchblade such a good face? Thought that dude was forever a heel. Buddy, forever, Zach, when people said, how could they ever turn MJF face? I said, you got to find somebody that can out piece of shit him. I thought that was Switchblade at one point.
Yeah.
To be the guy that everybody in the company is like, man, we hate MJF, but he's the only one that can match this guy's type of thing. And, you know, one of those, like when Venom teams up with Spider-Man type of thing. Are we getting AEW gang wars? It seems like we are. And what I want is at least an element of emotional investment in these people from a build perspective. We need to build this emotional investment as opposed to what we have seen far too many times with AEW gang wars, which is people thrown together. Right now, the people are thrown together, but I at least see a path to the emotional investment here. They're trying very hard. And Moxley and company are specifically targeting.
There's also, I think it's a great use of the Dark Order, because the fans since the beginning, I think, have a real soft spot for the Dark Order. If you were watching during the whole Brody Lee run and then his horrible untimely passing, like, you'll always have this soft spot for the Dark Order, who barely ever gets on TV anymore. So, like, using them as part of this, and also Top Flight, like, the Martin brothers that we were rooting for since the very beginning and have never quite reached that mountaintop, they are picking the right guys for us to get emotionally invested in a fool's errand, because ain't no way any of them are actually beating this faction this early in the run. But it's still going to feel like we really want it, and our dreams will be crushed while theirs are. It's really, really solid storytelling.
If you had your pick, who would be behind Mox?
I don't know. They didn't mention any of that today as far as like the higher power or whatever. So I wonder if that was like a thing that they were like guessing somebody might be behind it or whatever. Because he said, you work for me, not you work for the guy, same guy I work for. I want it to be Mox. I just don't want it to be Shane McMahon. But like,
yeah, I don't want it to be Shane either. Like, Shane involved with the Elite, I'm fine with. It's funny. It's quirky.
That makes more sense.
It's a fit. This, not so much.
Yeah.
Bobby White says, do you think it's going to be Young Bucks leadership, Kenny and Tony leadership, Moxley and Shane leadership going to be a thing? Dynamite, Collision, Shockwave. No, I don't. No. Kenny is not an on-screen boss right now. Like, he's just a performer.
Yeah.
He says, RJ City should be the main creative guy for everything. Listen, you don't want one creative guy for everything. You do not want that. That's how you get redundant stories. You want people dedicated to stories. I saw the thing where somebody said that he was creatively behind this. I don't know that to be true. I know that he was behind the Mariah May, Tony Storm stuff, but I don't know specifically about this. Acclaimed segment. I did not like their part of the segment whatsoever. And I like Anthony Bowens a great deal. There's a couple reasons why. I think it was Renee interviews Billy Gunn, and she's like, oh, what are y'all doing? He's like, we're about to go to the gym. We got great bodies. And I'm like,
he just couldn't be there for the next part of the subject. I don't know why he was there at all.
Sure. But I'm like, okay, I'm like, why is he there at all? First off. And also, we saw a situation where, like, Kyle Fletcher a few weeks ago was still wheeling his luggage from getting to the show, and Callis is like, no, we got to go. It's like, who's booking the travel in kayfabe?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know why.
You're booking Billy Gunn to come to the gym? Get him a Planet Fitness membership.
Billy Gunn doesn't necessarily need to be in this segment at all. He couldn't be there for MVP coming in and giving a business card, because he's not giving a business card to Billy Gunn.
It would have worked better if Billy wasn't there.
Right.
And MVP said, you know, I've been trying to get you away from Billy for a while so I can have a talk with you.
That's much better. Yes.
Yeah. MVP is handing out his business card to an awful lot of people. I'll say that.
I did enjoy that he presented one business card to both of the acclaimed. Anthony Bowens straight up said, no, we don't want that.
Yeah.
And Max Caster surreptitiously put it in his jacket pocket and gave a little side eye to Anthony Bowens. Now, of the two, which is the guy that I want to join the faction that MVP is starting? Anthony Bowens. But if it splits up the acclaimed and Anthony Bowens gets to go on a babyface singles run against his old buddy Max Caster, who's got the protection, if we get an Anthony Bowens versus Shelton Benjamin match out of this after what I saw tonight from Shelton Benjamin, that's all I want out of any of this.
Let me tell you, I'm doing the ad read before that because I can't wait to spend some time talking about that. But if this breaks up the acclaimed, I'm happy. I'm happy with it.
Too.
Mr. Burt Wayne says, huge shout out to SRS and the Fightful team. Get your merch at Fightful. I'm going to update that soon, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Alan Mark says, guess who is conspicuous by, or think about who's conspicuous by his absence, TK.
Yeah
I mean, possibly. I don't need to see him as an on-screen character regularly. Maybe just, again, a sit-down interview where they say, why did you arrange this? And he says, I felt like AEW was becoming something that I didn't know and love, and I had to put it in their hands. Like, that's fine. I don't need him as an on-screen character all the time.
Yeah.
Swerve Strickland promo. We will get into more of that when we talk about the Shelton stuff. But we have the Don Callis family press conference. Brian Cage has joined the Callis family, which I'm here for, as long as he's not, as a singles champion for ROH, eating the pins for any, like, Fletcher or anybody else. I kind of want to see these guys just go on a run for a while.
So, yeah, honestly, what a dream team of Brian Cage and 2018 Drew McIntyre. Like, what a tag team that's going to be. Why does Lance Archer look like that, though? I mean, he had the braids. They were we had an established aesthetic for Murder Hawk Monster Lance Archer, and I do not know why he needed to get updated. The 2018 version of Drew McIntyre. I don't get it.
Well, we had about a year and a half ago, it was Big Bill and Brian Cage, and they worked really well as a team together.
Oh, sure.
Lance Archer and Big Bill as a team is something I want.
Something... I'm not debating whether or not the matches are going to be good.
Sure.
But he walked out looking completely different than he ever has been. And nobody acknowledged, he didn't get us talk about it. Like, I went and saw my stylist today. Nothing. There was no acknowledgement.
There was so weird. There's one time I was leaving an AEW show and I saw Lance Archer running. And listen, he's 6'8". You know, it's him.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, I saw you running," and he was like, "I don't. That wasn't me." And I was like, "That was. You could tell me it's not you. You got another guy in Cincinnati during the night of an AEW show, right outside the arena, looking like you." Then,
yeah.
But Kyle Fletcher says a lot of people want to know why I did what I did. Too bad. I'm not telling you.
Yep.
And that's good. I don't think everybody has to do the Scooby-Doo reveal right afterwards. Takeshita is just all business. And there was something I will say kind of sweet that I noticed. Don Callis was mouthing the words of his promo behind him. Mm-hmm. Like he was rooting for him to hit the spots in his promo. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And N. Simmons says, Takeshita for me already killed the R-less Don Callis family for me. His voice is in Japanese is like an anime villain, and his English is not only amazing but so damn menacing. He doesn't need Don. Well, I gotta say this: Don Callis gets the crowd to make noise.
He gets the boos.
He gets the boos.
He gets the boos. Takeshita, people, you watch that triple threat. Everything Takeshita did, people were like, "Oh, that's amazing!" He's another one of those guys that when he was a babyface, we were rooting for him so hard. And even after he turned heel, we were like, I just want to watch that dude fight everybody because he's amazing. And the triple threat was great. He won the title. We're very happy. But like he's doing some show in Canada where he's facing Josh Alexander. Like he's going everywhere, doing everything with the international title that you should be doing with the title that is called international. This is some really great stuff. I hope he has a fantastic run with it and has amazing defenses on AEW television on pay-per-view. He's so damn good. He's one of those guys that no matter how dastardly you want to book him to be, I'm never going to not root for that guy.
I'm liking the way that this group is constructed. Don Callis gets the reaction. Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher, as I have constantly said, two very clearly next up guys. Brian Cage, Big Bill, or not Big Bill, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, I think a real opportunity to do something as a tag team together. Plus, Brian Cage just won his title as well.
Right.
Mariah May interview, she is interrupted by Anna Jay.
Well, she says,
she's like, I want somebody to challenge me. And Anna's like, bitch.
Yeah, she basically says, is there anybody who even wants a shot at my title? And NJ's like, I will gladly do it. And I was like, great. And then they announced later, oh, it's going to be a eliminator match on Battle of the Belts. And I was like,
Come on, man. Hate it. First off, Battle of the Belts sucks.
It does.
I'm ready for it to not happen again.
It does.
Second off, you need to have... Battle of the Belts, not Battle of the Belt Eliminator. Why? Ricochet cuts a promo. He says that he's issuing an open challenge for Collision. I'm sure that'll be fun.
I really like that promo. Like, man, all this crap about Ricochet can't talk. That's why he's never going to get pushed in WWE. He can talk. This was a really good promo. It was laid out well. He delivered it well. The substance of it, like, hey, you pinned Will Ospreay. You did not pin Ricochet. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm coming back for that belt. I think that's what we all want. I know that's what a one-on-one Ricochet versus Takeshita at Full Gear. Please.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Speaking of, we're about to talk about another guy that got a lot of that rap on him in WWE. But first, let's hear from our wonderful partners at BetOnline. BetOnline AG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from BetOnline. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200, this lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline.ag with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline.ag. They're 25 plus years. Their safe and secure environment. Their high limits. Their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, BetOnline. Check them out.
Oh, man. We had three underdog winners on Saturday's show. We had Brian Danielson retiring as a prop bet. We had MJF as first to appear on the show because Lashley was the favorite. And then we had Takeshita, three underdog picks. We were 100%. 100%.
Wow.
Alex, yeah. Shelton Benjamin is my favorite wrestler of all time.
After tonight, there's no reason why you
not shouldn't. Not listen, not to be dramatic, but I'm ready, Alex. He is who we thought he was.
Yeah.
He is Shelton goddamn Benjamin, and yeah. He has been this man.
Yes.
Since he showed up in WWE.
Yes.
20 some years ago, Alex.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And there were a bunch of turds on the internet for years. He can't cut a promo. Listen, go back and look at some of the people they put the title on. Go back and look at some of the people they tried to push against top 10. Luther Reigns was getting pushes against John Cena and Kurt Angle back in the day. This man is almost 50.
Yeah, no, he sure didn't look it.
And even, you know what he can't do anymore? Probably he can't jump from one side of the ring to the other. You know what he probably can't do? The 450s that he was doing in OVW. You know what he can do? He can heave sons of bitches across the ring. He can jump from the ground to the middle rope. He can run up the ropes and heave Leo Rush, who was the perfect opponent for many reasons. Alex, I'll let you talk about this because I got a lot to say as well.
I've always been a fan of Shelton Benjamin. I mean, before tonight, I wouldn't have said that he was my favorite wrestler ever. After tonight, I don't know, he's top five. Because, like, he's, man, this is the kind of guy you knew he had it in him from the first time you saw him with part of Team Angle. You were like, that guy moves different. That guy's got some spring in all of his muscles that's just so tightly coiled. Like there's something there from the first time you saw him. And to think that now it's like 30 years later or whatever. It's like, you know, 25 years later and you're watching him and he's I'm so happy for him that he got this kind of treatment in his first match, that they are bringing him in not to be the other guy in the Hurt Syndicate, at least so far, but a guy who is viewed by people who know their stuff and have been watching for a long time as one of the all-time what-ifs. Like, one of the all-time woulda, coulda, shouldas from the other perspective. Not he stepped on his own feet. Some guys they get in their own way. Shelton, to my knowledge, never got in his own way.
People never had an issue.
Just never ever pushed him to the way that they could. And had they done it, imagine the career this guy might have had. But
never
the whole thing, never complained, never did anything. But here he is now, as you said, almost 50, showing us what Shelton Benjamin is really made of. Good for him.
Never caused any issues, was never out of shape, always had good in-ring work, had great instincts, incredible charisma inside the ring, especially against top talent, always delivered. The decision to have him face Lio Rush was wonderful for so many reasons.
So many
you
reasons.
Know Bobby Lashley's coming, and Lio Rush has a history with Bobby Lashley. And also, Lio Rush is... I said this years ago, and unfortunately, things did get in his way, physical things, mental things. I felt like he could have been the next Rey Mysterio. And you know what? Dude's still in his 20s. So, but he's unbelievable in the ring, and he can make Shelton look as good as Shelton already looks. He makes Shelton look even better. The flip on the suplex.
Oh.
The sell knee, which I
think. Oh, it was great.
The walk-up knee from Shelton to the apron and all that, I think it's actually better that Shelton, like, fell down.
Yeah.
I think it looked a lot better that way.
Yeah, me too. I like that a lot.
I'll tell you guys a personal story about Shelton. Like, I got to interview him, I believe it was before Royal Rumble, maybe last year, the year before. And we were the last interview of the day, and we had, like, a 4 or 5 minute limit. And I was like, you know, you're my favorite wrestler of all time. And he thought I was like joking with him. And I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. And he gave me like triple the amount of time that he was supposed to give me, which was very, very wonderful of him. And also, he hates Mia Yim, which is wonderful. Jake says Shelton is putting Blue Chew out of business. Shelton could have been the perfect Cena, says N. Simmons. I don't know that anybody could have replicated John Cena, but Shelton Benjamin, to me, it's funny that ridiculous Monday Night Football segment that they did with he, Trish Stratus, and Vince McMahon, he was cast in the Terrell Owens spot. And I was like, Terrell Owens is a good comparison, a guy that always knew exactly how good he was. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that could have been Shelton Benjamin. 2LT Cole Photo says, hey, Shelton, we see you. Welcome back, Leo. Leo confirmed what we had reported that he is signed as well. N. Simmons says, sorry, meant to say perfect Cena rival.
Yeah,
I think so, too. Somebody that John Cena is this incredible physical specimen that can do crazy things, but he can't do crazier things than Shelton.
Right.
Crazy 101 says, Shelton, Leo killed it. Him looking at Caster, LMFAO. Shelton, see, that's the thing. Shelton has great like facial reactions as well. Like very, very good stuff. I'll never forget when Shawn Michaels' music hit and Shelton's face told the story whenever that hit, because we didn't know who he was facing before.
Yeah.
Coy Stalling says, OMG, Shelton Benjamin should have been on my TV. Can we say that WWE fumbled Shelton yet? Asking for a friend. Keep up the good work, guys. SGS forever. Not only the WWE fumble Shelton Benjamin. Here's what happened. WWE returned a kick all the way to their own one, fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line, caught an interception at midfield, got it back to the 10. They fumbled the ball again.
Yeah.
The other team just handed them the ball back. WWE said, now we don't want it twice and released him.
Yeah.
And then just unplugged the power to the venue, to the stadium, and said, we don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
That's how badly WWE fumbled him for 20 straight years.
Right.
They did all right booking him for the first, after, you know, the tag run with Charlie Haas and the IC title run. I don't think the Mama Benjamin stuff was as bad as what everybody says, because I think that he was very good in it.
He was.
I think Gold Standard was a good idea. Mm-hmm. He worked really great with like Undertaker. Undertaker was begging to work with him back then. But WWE never did it. And Pat says, if only the Fed wasn't run by a racist old turd for many decades, Shelton could have been the ace of a universe, best $5 in the business. We did report weeks ago that Shelton had officially signed. Jordan Scott, go ahead, you do your thing
and I want to say something about MVP.
Jordan Scott says, think we could get Shelton versus Okada. Hose me down. Wait. Buddy, I have been hosed. Look at me. You hosed yourself down. C. Delgado says, the Benjamin RVD feud was low-key great. Great matches there, too, around the Money in the Bank stuff, because Shelton was Mr. Money in the Bank without ever winning Money in the Bank. And Zach says, awkward story time. Back in high school, I asked Shelton for his autograph at a Hooters in Huntsville in the bathroom. No, Zach, why?
That's really awkward.
He says, I mentioned it on Twitter last year, and apparently this is so notably bad that he responded he remembered me. I'm ashamed of this day. Did I ever tell you about the time I got pseudo-recognized in a bathroom?
Uh-huh. No.
It was very weird. I can't remember what show I was at, but I was at the urinal, and from behind me, well in the distance, I hear, Sean Ross Sapp taking a piss. And I finished, I turned around, and there is nobody there. I don't know if it was a heckler. I don't know if they're like,
it was a ghost. It was a ghost.
I don't know if they're trying to hit me with the old distraction finish or whatever there. Like, Sean, I'm up here. I'm up here, Sean. One of those. Like, I have no idea the motivations behind this bellowing in which this beckoning in which I experienced here.
Wow. Crazy.
Somebody says it was God. Well, I mean, I think it was actually at Rupp Arena in Lexington, and that's literally where God was booked to wrestle.
Yeah, so. It's true. Yeah.
We also had a Swerve promo, yes. But sorry, I forgot to mention MVP leaves a card with Leo, and Leo posted that picture.
Yeah, that's great too. MVP at ringside for this added so much to this match of like the way he was instructed, like rooting on Shelton, but also like trying to motivate him. Come on, that got a two count. You shouldn't have been down for that long. You kick out at one next time. Like, he was doing that stuff. And also at the end, after the setup, after the two giant suplexes, he goes, can we please go home now? Like, that was great. I love that he added so much to this. I love the energy he brings. If this is what he's going to bring to the match between Swerve and Shelton at Fright Night in 2 weeks, sign me up. This looks so great.
Mike says, hopefully we see Lashley soon. What do you guys think? Well, they announced Shelton versus Swerve for the October 30th show. I believe that we will see him sometime between there and Full Gear. Let me see when Full Gear is. Whoops. Full Gear. God damn it. November 23rd. I mean, that's a pretty wide gap, but I think before Full Gear, because I think that Swerve faces him at Full Gear.
Swerve having an amazing match and beating Shelton Benjamin, and then Bobby Lashley shows up at that point, and you can build to Swerve versus Bobby Lashley for 3 weeks. You have like three dynamites to build that until you get to Full Gear. I think that's probably the optimum plan to get there.
It's funny because like the way that Shelton works now, like there's still glimpses of the athleticism that we saw 20 years ago, but this is an element that I've actually mentioned about Ricochet as well. Ricochet is a naturally strong human being, and the wrestlers in AEW are smaller by and large than that of WWE.
Right.
You're going to get to see superhuman strength out of these two guys.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I had mentioned, I had always wanted to see the Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin, angry old man tag team where they just beat up people. And Randy loved the idea. He was like, man, I love Shelton. I love the idea of just beating the shit out of young people with them too. But I am so excited for this. And Swerve is having a special 12 months as well.
Yeah.
So this is going to be good. I think we see Bobby Lashley, if not then, a week or so afterwards.
Yeah.
Vasco says Shelton is a beast. Him and Swerve is going to hum.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is. DNC Digital says met Shelton in 2003. It was 21 years ago. His performance was insane. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, like I've been waiting for him to get his flowers again. And, you know, after a certain point, you wonder, okay, well, are those days behind him? Then I saw some of his indie work. And it's like, yeah. No, those days aren't behind him.
No.
Kevin Hale says, should we have a Moxley swerve moment? Oh, absolutely. Moxley should be confronted by Swerve at some point. Although, yeah, I'll look into that a little bit more, but I think he should at some point. I think every top dog should be encountered by Moxley. Yes. Nobody is exempt. Adam Cole ain't exempt, MJF.
Right.
Nobody. Matt says it won't be this because TK won't be an on-screen character, but it would kind of make sense for him to be behind what BCC is doing. Storyline, I can see him after Punk and then the Bucks attacking him and being, I'm sick of this shit, Mox take over. I feel like if, again, you do the sit down and Tony goes, I don't really like to be on screen for this stuff, but here is why I did it. I felt like we were losing our identity. It was becoming something that I didn't recognize. I don't like that. So I left it in control of somebody who could handle it on screen.
Right. If I can't control my company, then I'm going to have to kill it off with a lethal dose of poison.
And I want him to work in at some point. I feared for my life. Just to really mess with people. I really want him to do that. people surprised we're still on. Listen, show is good.
Show is really good. We still got Christian and Jay White to talk about.
Christian defeated Jay White. And so I saw people when this got announced, they said, no story. And I'm like, do you watch the show?
There is a story, but I'm not one of those people, but I'm 60% one of those people because after Jay White beat Hangman at WrestleDream, he was interviewed backstage and kept being really coy about who the second guy he was coming after was. And I think if he knew at that moment he was having this match with Christian, he would have just said, I'm coming for Christian. I think that they were planning on doing Jay White formally calling out Christian, and then they never did it. So they just booked the match, and the match was great. But we didn't get that moment of Jay White saying, I'm coming after you, and I also want that title shot you've got. Like, I'm going to make you put that on the line or something. I don't know.
So for those that don't know the story, Patriarchy and Bang Bang Gang feuded for the Trios titles. Christian cost Jay White the Owen, and he's been sidelined ever since then. Right. In fact, they had to vacate the Trios titles because of Jay White being injured during that period. Mm-hmm. So there were elements to that. And I saw people saying a thing that, I hate seeing people say it, but it gives me the talking point. They're like, well, neither guy can lose this match. Good.
Right.
Good. I want that. I want more of that on AEW Dynamite. I want more of that on Collision. I want more of two guys who can't afford to lose.
Right.
Because sometimes two wrestlers face each other and one loses. Now, under most circumstances, would I want it to be clean? Yes, but the story definitely doesn't call for that right now.
No.
Hangman is a psychopath.
Yes, he is.
And cost Jay White this match. And then the image of him just laying there like this so the ref doesn't see him later
phenomenal. Did you recognize the callback that was?
I didn't.
When Christian came in during the Hangman versus Jay White match, Christian came in, speared Jay White, and rolled out of the ring and laid there the same side of the ring in the exact same position. And then Hangman came in during a Christian and Jay White match, cost Jay White the match, and rolled out and laid in the same position, giving Christian the victory. That kind of callback popped me so hard when I realized that's what it was. That's so cool.
Kip Sabian interfered as well. I've long been a proponent of Kip Sabian. I'm glad they're doing something with him. Him being involved in a main event segment is very, very surprising to me, and I'm glad. Penelope is actually back as well, which is nice to see. But what are you making of the Kip Sabian integration, which has been going on for months at this point?
Yeah, I just wish they had done more with him before they integrated him, because he came out of nowhere for me. Like, I've never been like anti-Kip Sabian, but the most that I remember of him is him standing in the crowd with a bag over his head. Like, that, if you said, name a thing Kip Sabian did, like, the first thing that would come to mind is he stood at ringside with a bag on his head. Like, those are the things. So I would loved it if he had been doing stuff leading up to him coming to Christian, talking at me like, my dad recently passed away or whatever that thing was that started this. And I liked there was a weird little rivalry between him and Nick Wayne, but we haven't gotten a Nick Wayne versus Kip Sabian match out of that yet. They had an interaction in a battle royal or something, or a gauntlet, but it didn't feel like it was part of the feud. It just feels like he is a very ancillary character, and yet he still keeps coming back and making himself part of this, but they haven't done enough with him separate from this storyline to make me feel like he fits into this storyline. He cost Christian the opportunity to cash in the little contract, because he came in and yoinked the pen out of his hand. That was a major thing that he did. And to me, he didn't feel like he earned that right to do that as a character. But they absolutely could do all of the work that I'm talking about and make him into that by the time this story with Christian is done.
James Zimmerman says, howdy, folks. Fun show, but the ending was a little sloppy all the same. Not a bad way to spend Wednesday night. John Silver, LOL. Yeah, the ending was a little bit sloppy, but eventually they got where they needed to go there. Meat Normus says, the chicken Big Mac is 2 packs fast. Let's crank. I did try. I don't eat a lot of McDonald's, but I tried their McCrispy. It was definitely their answer to like a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah.
But says, Shelton may want to lay low for a bit. He may be wanted for an attempted murder. Strap him up, TK. I want to see him in the Continental Classic. Really?
For
badly.
Sure. For Very sure badly. He should be in the Continental Classic.
Tim McFall says, and Sean gives Kate and Alex crap for going long. We'll go back to listen from the start, but wanted to support you all and wax poetic take and about take or Take and Kyle. I mean, we used to have Robert DeFelice on this show, and he was wonderful on this show. But the reason why we had to be like, okay, we need you on articles, is because we were going 90 plus minutes. We were going up to 2 hours. I don't do that.
No.
So
no, you don't.
An hour and a half for me is that's going pretty wild. But I thought this show was a very good one. It did a lot of stuff.
Yeah. The whole thing with they can't afford to lose or whatever. And I agree with you. Sometimes it's good. You got to find a way to make a choice and book your way out of it. The perfect way to do it is for Jay White beat Hangman one time and then said, I'm done with you. I'm moving on to Christian. Does that sound like something that Hangman would be okay with? No. Whatever you think you're doing with Christian, that can wait until I say we're done. So Hangman coming back and costing him that. And basically, I love the idea of Jay White says, I'm through with you. And Hangman Page says, this is a longer feud than you think it is. That is really cool, because then Christian can go on and do his thing. And the way that I think that Jay White should get his actual revenge on Christian is when Christian cashes in that contract for real. Either he costs him the cash in, or after he becomes the champion, Jay White beats him for that title. That's the way that actually, and none of that can happen until we've got like a good 4 or 5 match feud with him and Hangman done. So it's good.
Alex, any other points that you needed to address, or did we cover it all?
I think we got everything out of the way here.
Before we go, I mentioned this on the hump. I wanted to extend condolences and love to the friends and family of Joe Koff, who was the former ROH COO. The three people that are still with Fightful from day one, me, Alex, Jimmy, we were not the big newsbreakers in 2017.
No, we're not.
We were like guys that were honestly like, you think we're unprofessional now. You should have seen us then, as I'll ask Luis to please track this down, Luis. But we did not, like, a lot of the interviews that we were getting were not necessarily, like, they weren't from WWE. There was no AEW. TNA was not hitting on all cylinders. The Ring of Honor was the number two company in America at that point. And Joe Koff, who was the COO and executive, reached out to us via email and was like, I think you guys are doing a great job. I'd love to do an interview. To have an executive reach out to us like that was one of the nicest, kindest things I could have asked for. It gave Fightful credibility within ROH, which was very important at that time. I mean, it is easy to forget where ROH was 7 years ago compared to a lot of other companies and the stuff that they were doing. And Joe Koff was such a wonderful, kind man with a smile on his face. He was always so helpful. He was a great dude, and I'm going to miss him an awful lot. We had a couple of interviews with him that aired here on Fightful, and I was just heartbroken to hear about the loss of Joe Koff, as were so many wrestlers and people in the industry. So I want to say thank you to Joe Koff for reaching out when he did and always being so helpful, because I cannot possibly, I can't overstate how important he was, not just to our credibility, but to my confidence that somebody would recognize what we did in his position. And he would provide feedback. He would correct things if they were incorrect. Just a great guy. Mm-hmm. We wrap up with a super chat from Chad. Says, Shelton and Ricochet on AEW TV. Poor Charlie Haas. Speaking of Charlie Haas, he came up in an interview that I did with Mark Briscoe last week. Because I don't know if a lot of people knew this. Before the Haas brothers went to WWE, they wrestled the Briscoes on the indies, which is wild. A lot of people thought that just Charlie Haas and his brother got recruited out of college to go there. They were on the indies for quite a while. And unfortunately now both Charlie Haas and Mark Briscoe no longer have their brothers, but a weird, a nice little matchup that you didn't think of hearing. Charlie Haas, I believe, wrestled again recently. Yeah. He was doing a few he was wrestling pretty regularly and during the pandemic and 2022, and then stopped. But I think he came back and did some more stuff recently. Rico says Rico, not Ricochet. All of Haas's old partners showing up, but him.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. And Love for Boost says, I think Hangman missed the cue for which Kip interruption to hit Switchblade. He got on the apron, then jumped down and laid down. Like, I hope nobody saw.
I know that was a mistake. Yes. However, I love the idea of, I've got a very narrow window that I can interfere without the ref seeing, and I missed it. But if I get spotted, then I can't possibly get another window. So him being like, I'm going to get, oh, crap. Oh, nobody saw me. Like, honestly, I think that was really clever of him to play it off that way. But yeah, some mistakes happen.
Guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're in the comment section, share what you liked, what you didn't like. Damn it. We got one more Humper Chat. RP says, how quickly can we get Takeshita versus Shelton? Hopefully in the Continental Classic, I think, is the likeliest path to that.
Yeah,
I think is the – so maybe December, hopefully.
I mean, there's an easy path to that is MVP and Don Callis meeting up backstage somewhere and hating each other. And then you just get two heel factions with gang wars. Do that for a couple of weeks. You could easily get Takeshita defending against Shelton. It could be a lot of fun.
Guys, until next time, we're out.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.